Welcome back, my friends, to Second John. Hope you're enjoying this wee little book with me. I think the benefit of keeping it short is focus. Keep the main thing the main thing. The longer Gospels and Epistles cover the details, but these 13 little verses focus on two crucial exhortations. Walk in truth and love one another. Never lose sight of those two essentials. And that's exactly where we left off, with a warning about some things that can pull us away from the essentials of truth and love. Let's pick it up at verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. John has to keep reminding us of the path of truth because many deceivers are out in the world trying to steer us off of it. There are so many lies, so many twisted versions of Christianity that can turn us off of the simple path of walking in truth and walking in love. You might remember from 1 John that the Gnostics were a particular problem when John wrote, and they taught Christians that Jesus did not have a flesh and blood body. And one of the conclusions of their teaching was that you can sin in your body and still follow Jesus in your spirit. In other words, they said it's okay to believe in Jesus and break God's commands. But hold on, that's not love. Notice how they first left the truth and then lost the love. Back in verse 7, any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. This is antichrist with a small a. They are replacing Jesus with a fake. Don't fall for the knockoffs. Have you ever bought a product with all the right appearances, logo and brand name and style, but none of the quality? Knockoffs. Not only do you get ripped off, but there's a decent chance it was made in a sweatshop. People get hurt when we buy the fakes. Same goes for the Christian faith. How do you know the real thing? Focus on two simple things, truth and love. Verse 8, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. So John tells us to watch. Keep your eyes on the road so you don't veer off course and lose what you worked for. Have you ever worked really hard to earn or make or accomplish and lost it all because you stopped paying attention? That can happen spiritually. Don't lose your reward. Verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Don't run ahead. Back in high school, I ran a cross-country race in which I literally lost track of the course. I ran really hard, totally off course. Wasted effort. Not surprisingly, I came in last. Lost my reward. John explains that the teaching or doctrine of Christ is the course we run on. Jesus taught us the truth and taught us to love. Anyone who veers off that track does not have God. Back in verse 9, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. There's the key. Continue in Jesus' teaching. Stay on track with the beginnings of your faith. There's really nothing new about that, and that's the point. Stay on course. We are called to remain, stay, abide in Christ, and abide in His words. There are many ways off that basic path, including both going ahead and going nowhere at all. Now, I'm sure some of you read this and wonder about the classic once saved, always saved question. Is John saying that someone can lose their salvation? It's a reasonable question, but it's also a little dangerous. If someone asks me, can I start out following Jesus and then go off course and still be okay? Then the answer is no, absolutely not. If you do that, theologians will argue back and forth over whether or not you were truly saved in the first place. But I will simply tell you, you're in serious danger now. Get back on track and back to Jesus. Dozens of times, the scripture admonishes us, continue in the truth. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. John's warning here is stern, and in it we have another hint at the story behind the letter. His warning is about the dangers of hospitality to the wrong people, the deceivers. If they come knocking, look away, believer, look away. Clearly, this is a real and present issue for the church John writes to. Understand that hospitality to travelers was an important part of the culture and very much a Christian virtue. Hospitality to the traveling messengers and missionaries was how the church connected and grew and thrived. It was vital. But John makes it clear, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, that is, the essential teaching of Jesus which teaches us to love, do not take them into your house. Why? Verse 11, anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. To show hospitality is to share in the work, be it good or bad. That understanding was central to the early church and key to its growth. 3 John will strongly encourage hospitality to faithful messengers because it enables God's work. In Mark 9, Jesus told the disciples that anyone who so much as gave them a cup of water because they bore Jesus' name would be rewarded. Jesus takes that hospitality personally. Hosting a missionary is hosting him. But in the very next sentence, Jesus warned, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Back here in 2 John, that's exactly what the deceivers are doing, making believers stumble off the path. And to host them is to share in their wicked work. A home base enables them to dig roots and spread. So the key to good hospitality is discernment. Know who you are hosting. Now, if we put this story together with 3 John, the deceivers in the church have already worked their way into the church leadership. Give a room to lies, and they will soon take the house. That's a sticky situation we'll deal with there in 3 John. But how do we apply this today? You may or may not have opportunity to host missionaries in your home, but also consider other ways that you host and whose message you give platform to. Social media enables all of us to platform different voices and ideas, good or bad. So whose work are we sharing in? Be careful. I know I have given platform to voices in the past that I later regretted, but the damage was done and I shared in the fault. So be discerning. Verse 12, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. So John closes without really talking specifics. I have the feeling that the issues are delicate and the details are much better handled in person. That in itself is a good lesson. Some things are much better discussed in person. I have been guilty of making small problems bigger when I tried to solve them via email or text. If it's sensitive, better to talk, and best in person. And I love the last line, I hope to visit you so that our joy may be complete. What a great phrase, joy complete. The idea here isn't joy simply being more, it's that joy has a journey to finish. Here in 2 John, joy started its journey when John heard that some of his children were walking in truth. That was a great joy. But that joy wasn't meant to just stay in one place. It will take the journey with John to see them in person. Then, once the joy is shared, then it's complete. Remember that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is something that a branch gives away. Then its journey is done. Verse 13. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. So the lady has a sister, and along comes a woman into our story once again. The sister here probably refers to a sister church where John is, likely Ephesus. With all the drama that deceivers can bring into church, it's good to have outside connections and support. Every church needs it. We'll dig in further when we get to 3 John. Thanks for joining me in 2 John, everyone. This series is dedicated to my dear friends, Taylor and Mandy, a couple of young newlyweds. Congrats, guys. Taylor's a tech intern here at Through the Word, to whom we all owe gratitude for dark mode, among many other fine features and ideas, not least of which was the wild idea to hide Chicago song titles in this series. You're the inspiration, Taylor. Now start searching. And for those of you curious about why I still hide Easter eggs in my audio guides, well, it's a hard habit to break. And that makes 9. See you on the next one.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.